Welcome back to Lighter Side. Joe Grammatico here along with Tom Kaliopoulos. And this week, we're going to redraft the top 10 picks of the 2001 NHL Draft. Tom, on a warm May night, how you doing?
Joe, I'm hot. I'm muggy. Some of my body parts feel like a car decal, if you know what I mean. I'm refusing to put the air on, though, Joe. I figure it's going to start cooling off in a couple days, and I just don't feel like sleeping with the windows closed and especially being shut in for the last 2.5 months, okay. Seems anyway. So I need the open air, and I'll bite the bullet. I got some of the fans out. Got a couple bottle of water in front of me, and let's get it done.
Yeah, I think it was supposed to, I don't know if it did hit 90, but I think it was supposed to touch 90 today. And yeah, we're looking at what, like 60 on the weekend, 60 or so.
High 60s, low humidity, but sun, and it should be beautiful. I postponed my wife's birthday, festivities for that weekend. We did go up north. It was hot up there, just like it was down here. And, but for the most part, better than the 40 degrees and rain
right.
We've been getting.
Right.
So move forward. It's a sign of summer, and let's get over with this COVID thing, get some hockey going, and see what happens.
Yes, during the NHL shutdown, the NHL.com has been rolling out redrafts sporadically. They haven't been going in any particular order, and this week they released their redraft. They did the entire first round of 2001, so I thought we'd put together our top 10 and see if any of them match up with the so-called expert writers over there at NHL.com. So I think you got your list of 10, I got my list of 10, and we'll roll through.
Joe, I got my list of 10, and I did not even listen or view any of the so-called experts list, so I have no clue what I'm going off of other than just basic personal preference and what I think these players, would mean to a franchise. So based on what they've done, obviously, already.
Yep, I did. I read the headline. I didn't open up and read through it. I just opened it up a few minutes ago so we can see where we rank.
Kind of unique in the sense that the Atlanta Thrashers were still in the league then.
Yeah, they're still hanging around. They're up in Nashville, yeah. Or not up in Nashville, up in Winnipeg, right?
Winnipeg.
Yeah.
Yeah, so let's make that disclaimer because obviously the first pick in the redraft is Ilya Kovalchuk. And, we'll go from there.
Yep, I have him staying at one. Did you keep him at one as well?
Joe, I did. I kept him at one based on the fact that he's obviously still playing. And, he's pretty much a one-dimensional player and he's usually been pieced in with rosters over the course of his career. Even though I believe he started with Atlanta, he ended up over in New Jersey, I believe, right? Is that correct?
Yeah, he's in New York now, I believe, with the shutdown here.
He's bounced around quite a bit, mainly because of his sniper prowess. Oh. So I did keep him at number one, mainly because he had 926 games played and a total of 443 goals, 433 assists for 876 points. The thing that stands out to me, though, Joe, is that minus 146, which tells you he's not proficient on the defensive side of the puck, but that's not what he's signed for.
Right. No, I agree. That was the one glaring thing when I was looking at it to see if I was going to keep him at one or bounce him, down to two. I wouldn't see him going any lower than two in this draft. But I mean, if you even factor in the 5 years that he was gone playing in the KHL, you figure he's going to score 30 goals a year if he stays in the NHL at that time. It's another 150 goals, so I couldn't put, a 600 goal scorer. I couldn't bump him down to number two for that. So yeah, even though that big negative 146 was staring at me, I kept him at number one.
Yeah, he probably, with all his international experience, is pushing high 600s, right, in gold department?
Yeah, he's at, yeah, 443. Yeah, if he put up 150, he'd be right at 600. And I said he was with the Rangers. He was, there was a picture I was looking at. He was playing the Rangers. He was with the Capitals at the shutdown.
Yeah, right. Which, you know, they're talking about his name being bandied around in different cities still with the, in this offseason. So we'll see on that one. But, yeah, looking at the draft and the, basically the fact that we both kept him here, you know, even though he has been going back and forth and probably using the Europe League as a European League as a little bargaining chip, kind of like Jágr did, it just shows it's a thin, once again, that was a thin draft.
Right.
So.
Right.
Right.
Number two, who'd you plug in at two?
I also kept Jason Spezza there, which, you know, 1,123 games, pretty much 341 goals, 599 assists for 940 total points, plus five in his career. He's not gonna beat you too much on the defensive side, so coaches can put him out. And to me, he turned into a reliable, probably third-line player, you know, when they found out he wasn't going to be putting up these epic numbers like they projected from the big forward coming out of the Spitfires in the OHL.
Right.
But he's another guy that's still toiling around, and, you know, his role is kind of – is he with Toronto over there now?
Yeah, he's with his hometown Maple Leafs. Yeah.
Right. So it'll be his last hurrah. His career is coming to an end. But once again, I don't see anybody that warrants in this draft, even after the fact, to jump ahead of him and into the second slot.
Yep, I agreed. He was the one I was considering as the only person in this draft that could overtake Kovalchuk, but I just didn't think, you know, comparing and throwing in the numbers that Kovalchuk put up in the KHL, and he would have played more games if he stayed in the NHL than Spezza did and produced more points. So I kept Spezza at two. Like I said, there wasn't anyone else in the draft that was worthy of jumping over him into that number two spot.
You're right, Joe, and all bets are off now. After three, I'm guessing my draft took a total you know, crazy turn, and it's basically, you know, we talked about goaltenders, you know, not going high in the draft. And this is the exception to the rule. There was two of them taken in the top 10. So who's number three, Joe?
Number three, originally number three was Mikko Koivu I was looking at the NHL sheet. NHL, they bumped. So the original number three was the legendary, is it Mike Smith? Do I have that on there right or no? Sorry, Alexander. I clicked on my wrong list. Alexander Svitov. I have too many spreadsheets open. Alexander Svitov went to Tampa Bay. He played 179 games.
Being with the Oakland A's, Joe, all that sabermetric stuff going on in your head right now.
I did. I have three spreadsheets open, and I got they're all in different orders. Yeah. So I got,
nerd.
Yep, I did. So I got, so the NHL, they bumped Mikko Koivu up from 6 to 3. I put my number three pick. I bumped Patrick Sharp up from 95 to number three.
Wow, okay.
939 games played, 620 points. So yeah, I plugged in Patrick Sharp. Originally, he went 95 to Philadelphia.
Yes, that's a solid pick. The Alexander Svitov, you know, got taken by Tampa, correct?
Yep.
Well, I had, here's my third pick. I picked Jason Pominville in there.
Nice, that's a good one.
Yeah. Yeah, he's a solid player over the course of his career, and ironically, he was taken 55th by Buffalo, who I believe he's still with, unless he went. I think he might have been sought after. I know there was trade rumors last year. Where is he at, Joe? Is he still with Buffalo?
He is still. He's back with Buffalo. He was in.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, he was with the Wild for a few years, and he's back in Buffalo.
And then went back. Yeah, they hated to trade him. That's why I was fighting with that one. Like, I didn't realize, did they trade him or didn't they? But yeah, he always been a solid player. He's got over 1,000 games played in his career, 293 goals, 434 assists for 722 points, but he plus 44. Just a solid right winger. He played in the Quebec Major Junior League. He was always a favorite son in Buffalo, and I'm sure he's glad to be back there through the youth movement. You know, I think he left when they were in the middle of one.
Right.
So he's probably playing with a lot of the guys that are finally coming into their own. And, you know, I just threw him in the third slot there.
Well, I know you like my sabermetrics, so I did run this whole draft through the sabermetric point shares, and Pominville pops in at number 5. He would be the 5th overall pick if you just plugged that. So good spot. Yeah. All right.
Okay.
Number 4. The original 4th overall pick was the great center Stephen Weiss. I know you're a big fan of Stephen Weiss, or at least at the time.
Stephen Weiss was a hot shot coming out of the OHL here in our hometown of Plymouth, nearby here, 40-minute way city. But he had some big numbers, and I thought he would be a higher point producer in the NHL based on his skill sets. But injuries and kind of limited his role as a sharp shooting playmaker and point producer, and probably put him into a third line forward. And he played 732 games. He had only 156 goals, 267 assists for 423 points. He was a minus 23. He was just mainly a plug-in forward the rest of his career, and even his limited ice time with Detroit would profess that. So yeah, who do you got slotted in there at number 4, Joe?
So I got a surprise for you. I took, well, maybe it won't be a too big of a surprise based on the draft, but I plugged in the first defenseman going in this one. I plugged in Dan Hamhuis to go to Florida at number 4.
Okay. It's a solid player.
Yeah, at the time they had, who would it have been? They had Oselinch, I think, was there. They would have had Robert Svala, Brett Hedekin, a few other guys. So he would have been a nice piece to go to that Florida defense at the time. And they weren't too bad of a team. I think Bure was still on the team in 2001.
Right.
So they had a decent roster.
I took Patrick Sharp.
Okay.
I plugged him in there, and mainly because of his speed and maybe a viable winger for Bure, you know, before his back injuries put him out. But ironically, Sharp ended up having back injuries later in his career. But he did play till 2018, and that would have been a nice, consistent winger to plug in, you know, especially with all the size they've had recently. Like, I'm sure probably 3 to 4 years towards the end of his career, Patrick Sharp's would have been playing with a lot of them big forwards.
Right.
So, right. Might have added some length to his career, maybe pushed him to the 2020, you know, season. He might be going through all this shutdown stuff.
Right.
So, yeah, but anyway, he got his cups with Chicago and getting timely goals and that type of thing. So,
yeah.
But that's, I got him slotted for the 4th slot slot there. And, yeah, he had a good career coming out of Vermont. And, you know, I'm surprised at his low goal total, though. You know, 287 in his career. I think you always think the way that guy, you know, netted some in Chicago, that he would be at least a 400 goal guy. But, you know,
yeah,
probably a late starter, late bloomer.
Yeah, I was surprised at the total, too. But, yeah, I think he was a slow start. And he was picked at 4 as well by the NHL staff writers.
Okay.
Number 5 in the original pick of 2001, the Ducks selected left winger Stanislav Chistov out of Russia. So he was the second Russian in that top 5 to bust out. Svitov at 3 and then Chistov at 5. Neither of them played 200 games.
Well, and Kovalchuk was a Russian, right?
Yep, Kovalchuk.
So he had 3.
3 in the top 5, and Kovalchuk was the only one that panned out.
Right.
Yeah, I took in my...
Yeah, what did...
Go ahead.
What did Sheetsov, he played only 196 games, didn't he?
Yeah, 196. He got close to the 200 mark. He was a minus player. for animal. Right.
Okay.
At five, who did I take? I got to go back my spreadsheets now. Number five, I bumped Mika Koivu up one spot from six to five.
And I did the same show.
Okay.
He's a good hockey player, still plugging along, I believe, isn't he?
Yeah, I think he's still, I think he's got another year or so left in him. He was in, I don't know if he's still with Minnesota or not. He's,
I think so.
Yeah, he's a tough, hard-nosed, you know, Finnish hockey player. He doesn't really fit the mold of the what you'd think a Finnish hockey player brings to the table, but he's pretty rugged, pretty tough, hard-nosed guy, and yeah, he's still with the Wild. He's been there his whole career.
Yeah, he's over 1,000 games. He's got over 700 points. He's a plus 70, and he's a lot bigger than his brother, I think, Saku.
Yeah.
I think Miku was a lot bigger, actually. But I don't know. What are the stats on him, Joe? Do you have his size up there on one of your spreadsheets?
Miku's at 6'3", 213 is what he's listed at.
I don't remember what Saku was, but I don't think it was anything close to that. That surprises me.
He's 5'10". He was a lot smaller. He was supposed to be a big, big-time offensive guy, and that even though he put up decent numbers for his career, I don't think he ever put up the numbers that they were thinking he was going to put up.
Yeah, that's an interesting point, Joe, because I'm guessing that's a perfect example of one of those where the organization kind of defines the type of player you're going to be.
Right.
Think about that. Minnesota has forever had coaches, you know, that have come in there and implemented a defensive style. I think Jacques Lemaire was over there too, wasn't he coaching?
Yeah, for a little bit. Yep.
Yeah, yeah. And I remember they had a couple deep runs in the playoffs, and they were a hard, team to play against. And then there was a few other coaches that kind of implemented that same style. So really, they've always been tight to the vest team. And, it's probably been they need to get scorers in there and know how to implement them and play a more balanced game, I think, if you're ever going to see them challenge for a cup. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, but Koivu's numbers definitely indicate that that's definitely the doing of an organization in the style they play and have gone with over the course of his career.
Right, right. So number six, obviously, we just mentioned Mika Koivu originally went sixth overall. I plugged in the old Michigan Wolverine Mike Camilleri at number six on my redraft.
That's an interesting pick. Camilleri's always been a smart player. Once again, you look at him later in his career, and he was bounced a couple times from team to team because mainly teams liked his scoring. But he was streaky, and he had a few good playoff runs with certain teams. And, he was a minus player as well but in his career. But I do like Mike Camilleri as a player, and always a good skater, fit the Michigan mold as a forward, and he had a good career for sure. So that's not a bad pick. I went with Tomas Plekanec.
Okay, nice. I like Tomas.
Yeah, a little diminutive. I'm not somebody that, I would normally pick, but for this draft, he seemed to plug in pretty well. He ended up becoming a captain over in Montreal. Actually, Montreal did take him 71st, but I had him going to Minnesota here.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought his style would have fit in well because he became a very steady player. 608 career points in 1,000 games. That's about a point every, little less than two games. And he was a plus 55, so he probably would have fit in well over there. He's always a hard worker and, didn't avoid the grit part of the game. So, yeah, so I got Tomas Plekanec, who I believe retired, last year, went to 2019. So he had a nice career.
Yeah. Yes, he did. The NHL hockey writers agreed with me, and they plugged in Camilleri at number six.
Okay.
Going to the Wild. Number seven, the original seventh overall pick was a different guy from Michigan. Mike Komisarek went to the Canadiens, right. A defenseman.
Yeah, I always liked Mike Komisarek. I think his career kind of got I think when he went over to, didn't he go to Toronto from Montreal or something?
He was in Toronto for a period of time. I don't know if there was anything in between the two.
I know he, when he was with Montreal, they were pretty high on him. And, you know, I think he ended up getting into a fight with a heavyweight and just getting knocked, demolished. And it just, he was never the same player after that. So, you know, I guess you look at Trouba now, and he was kind of similar to Komisarek, only obviously Trouba has more offensive skill.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Komisarek was a big guy, too. Wasn't he like 6'4", 6'5"?
Just like Trouba, big guy. And, you know, but I think Trouba's got a lot more offensive upside than Komisarek. And, like I said, Montreal was kind of thin on defense at the time. He didn't really have anybody that could, he could really, like, emulate over there. I mean,
yeah.
I think you had the Russian guy over there. I can't remember his name. Big number 79. His name escapes me right now.
Markov.
Mark. There was a language barrier there, though.
Right.
In Montreal, but you know, Komisarek was a good player. Had a good career at Michigan.
Number 7 for me in the redraft. I plugged in Jason Pominville.
Okay.
You had him at 3? 4? 3.
I had him at 3. Yeah.
So I got to go in at 7 to the Canadians.
Okay. I took a different defenseman than the actual draft pick Komisarek. I took Kevin Bieksa.
Okay.
Kevin Bieksa was a longtime plugger for out of Bowling Green. He was taken 151st in the real draft, so I bumped him up quite a bit, eh, Joe?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, not a flashy guy, but I always liked his grit. The 1,124 penalty minutes would suggest in 808 games. But he was a guy that every team needs on the blue line. Actually, a guy the Wings kind of lack, a guy like that. It has some grit, blocks some shots, nothing fancy. But like I said, normally not a top 10 guy for me, but in this draft,
right?
I think he would be a good 7 pick and a good fit for Montreal at the time.
Yeah, on the NHL site, they got Bieksa redrafted at 13 to the Oilers.
Okay.
The first line just covers everything that you said. The Oilers go for a heart and soul leader, a tough, physical, and reliable defenseman.
There you go. Yeah. That's, he fits all those for sure. And you know, and I think he did that for Vancouver once again on a blue line that was kind of, I know it's, oh, they never seemed to work on the blue line. But man, could you imagine a guy like Bieksa right now, like playing with Quinn?
Mm-hmm.
Quinn Hughes over there now, and some of the younger defensemen they have, like, well, he did have, what's the other guy, the main stay there that played with them for all those years, the big European kid from Sweden. I can't remember his name. Edler?
I don't know. I had Jovanovski in my head for a second, but he did not fit small guy.
Yeah. O'Coin was over there, wasn't he? I get those guys all mixed up. Him, Adler, and I think it's Adler. I think he was still with, playing with Vancouver, isn't he?
Yeah, Alexander Edler. He was there. He's still there, Alexander Edler.
Okay, yeah. So they've had some good players over there. I don't think they could ever master getting a solid top 6 defensive core going over there for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I think Bieksa would still fit in over in Vancouver if he was younger. So,
at 7, the NHL writers took Thomas Plekanec to go to Montreal. So, originally Montreal took him at 71. Here the NHL's got him at number 7, still going to Montreal.
Solid Slovakian player.
Yeah, number 8. The original pick by the Columbus Blue Jackets was the first goalie in the draft, 8th overall, Pascal Leclaire. Played in 173 games, lost more than he won. But that at the time, Columbus wasn't very good, so we won't fault him for that. But, at 8 in the redraft, I took Thomas Plekanec.
Okay.
So I get
that's a you pretty much almost nailed that one. I had I plugged in another goalie there. I put Craig Anderson in.
Okay.
You know, another guy, just figuring goaltender, I plugged him in there, and basically a guy who played 648 games out of Guelph in the OHL was taken normally in this draft 73rd by Chicago. Yep. And then obviously moved right away. But he had 289 wins in his career, 251 losses, and 69 ties or overtime games. Yep. He's a 913 save percentage, Joe, and a 2.84 goals against average. So, you know, that guy's had – he's been a good guy coming in relief, you know, for a lot of good goaltenders. And, you know, had some good playoff moments. But I thought he would fit in good with Columbus early in his career. Yep. Stabilize a troubled goaltending spot that they've had for years.
Right.
Over there.
You know, Craig Anderson was drafted 77th overall by Calgary 2 years before that. Did you know that?
Oh, really? So, yeah, I think that's when you could be thrown back into the...
Yeah, you could not sign. The signing period was 2 years, and I think now it's three. I think you have 3 years now to sign a guy after you draft him. But I think it was 2 years before the... 04-05 lockouts. Yeah, Anderson went back. He only bumped up four spots, and I don't think he played much for Chicago.
No,
he was out of there pretty quick.
Yeah, they probably had one. Who did they have over there then? Probably Hasek and
not in 2001. Who would it have been in 2000?
I don't know who that was.
Let's see, 2000.
Also, fine. Yeah, I wonder who they. Yeah, that's interesting.
2001, the Blackhawks had Jocelyn Thibault and Steve Passmore.
And nothing. And who was the Calgary's goaltending situation back then?
Calgary, let's see, 2001.
Kiprizov?
That might be a couple of years before Kiprizov. Because I don't think Kiprizov came into his own until 03.
Yeah, Calgary, when he left, Calgary's immensely in the pipes, and they still are to this day.
Yep.
I thought Craig Anderson would be a good pick even for them.
Yeah, they had Roman Turek, who was 31. They had Kay Whitmore, who was 34. And then they had 38-year-old Mike Vernon on his last hurrah.
Oh, geez, yeah.
So, yeah, Calgary.
Yeah, and I know he wasn't. They were struggling, yeah.
Yeah, so Calgary was in desperate need. Now, there's a fun fact for you since you love Sabermetrics. If you just went on Sabermetrics for this draft, based off of point shares, Craig Anderson would be the number one pick in this draft.
Are you kidding me? Really?
No, the point shares equation that calculates how many points the player contributes to their team, he would put up 120.9.
So I got him number 8.
Yeah.
So that makes me a flipping hockey genius, Joe.
There you go.
Yeah.
Who did I have? I had Plekanec at 8. You got Anderson, and the NHL writers bumped up Brooks Lake from 193 to 8.
Brooks, is it Lock or Lake? Brooks Lock had
him. Yeah, either. Either or is good for me.
I think it's Locke, but I think the best thing he did in his career was marry that Juliana Huff or whatever. I think that's the marriage that's still going on right now, I think.
I don't know.
Or he could be a free agent. I don't know. And some stories came out about her, and then he ended up might be rethinking that one. Want to be put on the waiver list or something, but. Yeah, Brooks Lock is the big forward, you know, that played with Washington. He had some good playoff runs, but, I don't think he tasted the cup with them. I think he was gone by then.
Yeah, I don't think he was around. He had a couple 20-goal seasons. I guess we'd call it through the prime of his career, but, yeah, I think he retired in 17 or 18, I think before. Okay. The cup. He might have got the cup at 2018 if he was still there.
Man, I'm not sure.
Number 9 was the Blackhawks pick. They originally took Tuomo Ruutu Another Finn. This 0-1 draft was pretty heavy with Europeans in the top 10, Finns and Russians.
Yeah, Ruutu was a dickhead, man. You ever watch him, Joe?
Yep.
Yeah, he was kind of an edgy Finnish player, you know. And I remember him playing against the Red Wings quite a bit and, you know, getting into it. And he had a dirty stick.
Yeah.
So, but, you know, decent player. I mean, he had, 735 games played. He had 148 goals, 198 assists, 346 points. He was a minus 70. But who did you have plugged in at number nine, Joe?
This one, I went with a European, an old one. This was back when you were still draft eligible over the age of 20. I plugged in 24-year-old Marek Zidlicki in the number nine spot.
Wow.
So, I was looking at it, and I was like, is he worthy of a number 10 spot? He's a negative player. But he did put up a point every other game. He had 417 points in 836 games. So he was reliable and from the defenseman that I had to pick from.
He was good with New Jersey. And the thing that soured me from making him making this list, his later years, he was a turnover machine when he came to Detroit, just his positioning and everything. I don't know what the heck happened to him, because he seemed to be always to me to be a smarter player in New Jersey than he exhibited with Detroit when he came over here.
Yeah, he was, and he got real slow too. I mean, obviously,
he would get beat by the blue line, he was a 2-on-1 waiting to happen, and his partner, I don't know who his partner was, he was partnered with when he was here, but yeah, it was just very unsettling watching him play.
Yeah, he was one of the plugins for just over a playoff run, right? Yeah, he just wasn't here more than the trade deadline on, and he wasn't re-signed.
Yeah, he did not do a good job when he was here, and that kept me away from him on this list. I plugged in another defenseman who was pretty reliable over the years, Dennis Seidenberg.
Yeah, I was looking at him. I didn't plug him in, but I gave him some consideration. Mm-hmm.
Now, he's a steady defenseman. What did he play with, Washington and
Boston?
Boston predominantly in his career. I don't who's he with now? Is he even? I think he played later. Later, he's not playing now, but he was I think just recently retired from Washington. Didn't he have a spell with them? Or
he was in? Yeah, he was there.
I don't think he was a lifer with Boston.
No, he was in Washington for a bit. He played with the Flyers, the Canes.
Okay.
He finished up with the Islanders.
Okay, so he did a little tour of the NHL in the last few years, because I know he was famous for that slew foot incident on that official. You remember that?
I do. Yep, I do.
I believe that was him.
Yep.
I could be wrong there, but no, I could have swore it was him as he was skating to the bench.
Yeah, I think you're correct. I think that was with Boston. I think that's the right Boston player.
Yeah, but he's won a cup with Boston. He's part of a gritty defensive core, when he played there. But, I think they needed to go younger when they had all these prospects coming in, so they moved him. I plugged him in at nine, Joe, with Chicago. Going to Chicago.
This one surprised me on the NHL's list. They plugged in goalie Mike Smith at nine. All the way up from 161.
I thought,
and the only reason it surprised me, because if you plug him into the Sabermetrics, he would actually go third overall.
I must really be a genius if I got him in number 10.
So
in my draft.
Yeah, but just looking through, they didn't have Anderson ahead of him, who I think had better stats and metric numbers.
Still in the league right now. Yeah. And I know he's played in difficult situations. I think he was a lifetime, Arizona?
He
played with them for quite a while.
He was in Dallas, Tampa. He was with Arizona franchise, and he's in Edmonton now.
Yeah, they've taken him. Dallas took him 160-161. They've always seemed to have a stable of good goalies in Dallas, you know. Mm-hmm. But they always, you know, they can't keep them all.
Yeah, he did the Alberta middle finger. He went played 2 years in Calgary, and now he's in Edmonton.
I always wondered about that one. That's why I'm still would like to know. I got to watch that Grant Fuhr movie to see if they touch on that topic at all. Actually, I should be looking that up tonight. Maybe watch a couple of the movies. What was the name of the Sawchuck movie?
Oh, geez, I don't know off the top of my head.
I'll have to look that up on my Fire Stick because I might watch a couple of those when the wife goes to bed. I can't sleep with this heat anyway, unless I turn the air on, and that's not going to happen. So, but this kind of sparked me to maybe watch some of that, like you did the Probert movie the other day. You know?
Yeah. Yes, sir. At number 10, the original 10th overall pick was goalie Dan Blackburn.
Out of Kootenay.
Yeah, he went to the New York Rangers, 10th overall. So when I was making my pick, I plugged in Craig Anderson. I figured he'd be a better fit goaltending-wise there for the Rangers. He wouldn't have lasted long, obviously, with Lundqvist coming through. But,
he'll be a nice backup, though.
He would have been much better than Dan Blackburn, who I don't think he played more than 2 years in the league.
I always thought Blackburn did not come out of the Western Hockey League. I thought he was a Michigan goalie, a backup for Michigan for some reason. I want to say, did Michigan have a Blackburn playing for them? I have to check that in their history because I could have swore Michigan had a goalie with the same last name. Then I looked his stats up, and he is a Kootenay from the Western Hockey League. Okay, that's not the CCHA. So,
he didn't. He was out quick. So yeah, Craig Anderson would have been a nice piece. You know, I was surprised. They must not have thought too highly of Lundqvist at the time because they drafted him in the 7th round in 2000. The Rangers did, and then they took Blackburn 10th overall in 2001. So they were obviously they got the steal with Lundqvist in the 7th round and
they weren't sold on him.
Yeah, they weren't sold on it and Blackburn didn't pan out. So for the redraft, knowing what we know, Craig Anderson, like you said, would have made a real good 1-2 punch there for the Rangers.
So hey Joe, let's talk about that for a little bit with Lundqvist. What is that? Is it like a goaltender just all of a sudden just coming out of nowhere? Or is it the scouting staff for the Rangers picking up a gem in the 7th round? I mean,
I don't know.
Or a combination of both. Maybe they weren't looking at, because, you know, the whole scouting thing changed, you know, when it came to European players. You know how it goes in phases. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you're looking at three Russians taken in the top like 5-6 picks right there in this draft. I'm not so sure European players were like, you know, even though the Wings hit on a few, you know, maybe goaltending was a different story. That I don't think there was a lot of prospects coming out that, you know, from the European leagues, you know, that people knew about.
Yeah, it's,
I'm not really sure.
Yeah, I don't know how that scouting works because they draft him in 2000, I can't find any stats for him prior to 2000 as far as, you know, Lundqvist stats go. So he stayed in the Swedish Elite League for 5 years after that. So he didn't come over to the Rangers until the 2005-2006 season, and he was their starter right away at that point.
Stats on him even from the Swedish League?
No, I can only find 2000 and 2001, he played 13 games in their, what would be the Swedish Junior League, and then 14 games in the, was the SHL, so their top major league over there. But that's in 2000, 2001, that's after he was already drafted in that spring, so I can't find anything from 99 and prior to that.
That's odd. Maybe he just did development programs or something, because he seems kind of old for just, I know that's how they run their youth programs over there. They're not so much in league format over there as much as they are developing.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I don't know. That's kind of an odd one.
Yeah, so I don't know what they had to go off of. But, yeah, somebody liked or took a flyer. Somebody had some inside info.
Yeah, you see skill sets within a guy, and kudos to their scouting staff. But he's struggling right now as far as his top spot over there that he's had for years with some of this Russian goalie they got over there now. So
yeah, he's in the last 2 years. He's been over 3 goals against average, and it's the first time in his career. He's always been, 270 and below.
Right.
Mainly the low twos through the majority of his career.
Well, Father Time is running out on him, so yeah. I mean, you might want to move.
Yeah, he's maybe only got. He's 38 now, so he's probably going to be more in the backup role. He might have a year or two left in him.
Yeah,
it's tough to be a goalie and play into your 40s. I know some guys have done it, but
The way these kids shoot the puck today, no doubt about it. I mean, it's like his it's a position you really can't, just kind of age gracefully. You know what I'm saying, Joe? It's like you could look awful bad, if you don't stay on top of your game with these techniques and everything.
Right. And you said you had Smith at 10, another goalie.
Yes, I did.
All right. And then the NHL plugged in Derek Roy at 10, up from 32.
Yeah, that's a good pick. I mean, we talked about him, I think. We talked about last time a redraft we did. We talked about a similar player, Derek Plante. Remember that?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, I think Buffalo drafted him out of the Quebec League as well. But I think Walk came out of the OHL and always a steady forward,
Yeah.
Buffalo.
Yep. Yep. All right. There's our 2001 redraft. So we had pretty much the majority of guys. They had the NHL writers had Anderson at 11. They had Hamus at 12. I already mentioned Bieksa at 13. And then they had Seidenberg at 14. They had Zitlicki at 16. So that covers everyone that we plugged in.
Right.
So they had them within the top 16. We had come to our top 10. So not too bad.
No, it was interesting. I think surprised there wasn't more players. Like 289 total players. And this draft, what's the other draft we did? What year did we cover that last time?
89.
So, yeah, I thought this draft was a little thinner than that one, even as far as players playing prominent seasons with any NHL team.
Mm-hmm.
Seems like you probably get 2 handfuls with this draft.
Right.
And the other one, at least 15 to 20, even though, they were just not like marquee names or anything, or somebody that would jump out at you and surprise you. But, I don't know. Both drafts were pretty thin, Joe.
Yeah. What did you think? There was one guy I kept looking at, and I just couldn't bring myself to plug him in. It was Alice Hemsky. I wanted to plug him into the top 10, but he just couldn't stay healthy, and he's already out of the league, and he fizzled out.
Yeah, was he an Edmonton draftee?
Yeah, Edmonton took him 13th overall. I was trying to squeeze him in my top 10, and the NHL had him at 15 on their redraft, but I'm struggling to even keep him in the top 15. Even like you said, the draft's pretty thin, but I feel
how many years do you play?
He played through 2018, but he only played 20 games over the course of the last 2 seasons. So really, say he played 2016. Yeah, guys like RJ Umberger and Erhoff and Klo and Parenteau.
I liked Erhoff. I almost put Erhoff in my top 10 because it's funny you should. I think he toiled with San Jose, but didn't he? He played with Nashville, didn't he?
I think he did recently for a year or two. He's been around he's been bouncing around a lot.
thought he played with Nashville back when they were giving Detroit fits in the playoffs.
He was in.
I thought he was a good forward with them. I thought he played more than just 1 or 2 years with Nashville. But no. Either way, he was up with San Jose as well. Just a good solid forward, dependable guy.
Yeah, he was out of the league in 2016. He wasn't. You know, he wasn't in Nashville, San Jose, Vancouver, Buffalo, Pittsburgh, L.A., and Chicago.
Okay, so maybe I'm thinking of somebody else. But he did have a guy. I do remember him in San Jose for sure, and I remember he's a good hockey player, just steady.
Yeah.
You know.
Yep. No, he had some good offensive years. I never really thought of him as an offensive defenseman, but he did have a couple of good years in Vancouver and with San Jose.
Yeah, he jumped into the play. You know, he's not a big guy.
Yeah, another German. The German.
Yep. Yeah, which is a rarity back then. I mean, I don't think they were really, you know. That's going to change, though. That German league is really starting to produce some players, so you're going to see that over the next few years like we've talked about. And that's why I'm interested to see the draft this year. I guarantee you're going to see probably more than 10 German players taken.
Yeah, for sure. Over the course of the draft, there's been quite a bit of development over there.
What do you think's the best country in development, Joe, in your eyes?
Best country?
I think it's changed over the year. I mean, Russia used to be the team, and then now I'm thinking Sweden caught up with them, and then, you know, you always had Czechoslovakia there, but just not enough since they, you know, broke off, you know, into Slovakia and the Czech Republic, but Finnish programs are getting a lot better too.
Yeah, no, the Germans definitely up and coming. I don't know if it's just because we're in Detroit and we're so Swede heavy, but I feel like everyone's got a handful of Swedish players on their team. They're at elite league over there. Is pretty tough to play in. So Sweden's definitely right up there, one or two of the top developing countries.
Well, I got some interesting takes, Joe, and just a little preview, sneak preview, a little tantalizing tidbit of on Swedish players and how they might make a difference in the playoffs this year if that does take off. So that'll be interesting.
All right. Well, it's 2001 redraft. Joe and Tom, we'll see you back here next time on the lighter side.